Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
What if your child couldn't cry properly, your baby? What would that say to you? And is this really a very serious problem? Clogged tear ducts. My guest is Corey Cross, Dr. Corey Cross. She's a pediatrician and a frequent guest here on Healthy Children. Welcome to the show, Dr. Cross. What are clogged tear ducts? What happens? How many children experience this and what can be done about it?
So clogged tear ducts is actually a very normal thing for the newborn. 6% of newborns don't have patent tear ducts, and what we call the tear ducts in medical terms is nasal lacrimal ducts, so parents may hear of that too. And basically, the way that you cry or the way that the liquid in your eye is basically taken care of is there's a little hole in the bottom eyelid that parents can see if they pull down, and that goes, you know, through your skin and drains into your nose. And so what happens with the baby is sometimes, and it's usually at the bottom part where it opens into the nose, there's still a little piece of skin, a little membrane that's left there. As the child grows, that duct elongates and it dilates that bottom, and eventually the membrane usually pops open. So by 2 years of age, over 95% of children will resolve this problem on their own. For anybody who has had a child with this, it can be slightly aggravating for those first 2 years of life. The tears just flow right over the lower lid down the cheek. So you'll have this child who just constantly has these little tears that are coming down. And so you actually make liquid in your eye, tears, even when you're not crying. It's just a natural part of lubricating your eye. So these children, if they go out in the wind and stuff, you'll just see these tears going over their eyes. So that's how most parents realize that there's something wrong. The other thing that can happen is because it's not draining properly, there's a little amount of gook that basically usually is taken care of in there and that isn't able to drain. So that sort of builds up and it can come out of the eye from the lower lid. It comes out and you see that in the eye. So that sort of normal, clear discharge is totally normal. The when parents have to go and see a doctor is if there's copious discharge, a ton of discharge, if it's yellow and purulent, if the eye is crusted shut in the morning, if the whites of the eyes become red, or if there's any redness or swelling of the skin under the eye. So basically, when it starts to look infected or if it starts to just look more gooky than normal, that's when parents want to go and see the doctor. But most parents have heard about this from their pediatrician because the pediatrician will notice that the tears are coming down the eye.
And then what would our pediatrician do? I mean, first thing, if I saw gook like that or the lid shut, you know, everything, I would think pink eye right off the bat, even in a baby. Mm-hmm. But, you know, from what you've described, then what does the pediatrician do? What are the treatments involved?
So there are a lot of things that can be done. What they will tell you is to basically massage the little ball right at the corner of the eye, which is where the nasal lacrimal duct sort of starts. There's a little sac there. And the thing is that actually most parents do it incorrectly. And doing it correctly is the difference usually between whether or not your child's going to outgrow it or whether or not they're going to need a surgery to dilate that, to probe and dilate that duct. So what you want to do is instead of just massaging it, which is what most parents are told to do in these little circular motions a couple of times a day, what you're really trying to do is if you think of it as there's a little balloon, a little sac in there at the corner of the eye where the eye meets the nose, what you're trying to do is sort of milk that gook, whatever's in there, back out into the eyeball so that it doesn't dilate and so that it doesn't get swollen, because when it does, then you have more of a tendency to get an infection. So if parents can do what nature should be doing, allowing that gook to drain into the nose, instead of they just push it back up so that it drains into the eyeball, then they probably won't ever get a real infection. And so if children don't get an infection, they're very, very likely to have this resolve on their own. For children who have had a history of an eye infection, so conjunctivitis, pink eye, because of these clogged ducts, then those are the children who will end up needing surgery. So different pediatricians do different things. Some pediatricians will refer at 6 months of age because most children will outgrow it by 6 months, so they feel like if they haven't outgrown it by 6 months, they should be at least hooked up with a pediatric ophthalmologist, which can also take a couple of months to see. So they start the referral process at 6 months. A lot of pediatricians start the referral process at a year because they want the ophthalmologist just to make sure that there isn't anything else going on. But some pediatricians feel comfortable waiting until 2 years of age because most kids, like I said, do resolve by then, and otherwise they'll refer at that point. So it really is pediatrician-dependent, and also it's parent-dependent. Some parents are much more comfortable with it, and some parents just really aren't. Depends on how much they have going on, how often they can clean the eye to really stay on top of it, and then how much the kids actually let them do that. So it's very patient-dependent when you refer. But once you do get referred, what the ophthalmologist will decide is whether or not he basically needs to put a little probe down through the little hole in the lower eyelid all the way down through the nose and just open up the membrane, or whether if there's been a lot of infection, sometimes they don't just probe, they leave a stent in, which will keep it open while it all heals from any inflammation and infection that they've had. So those are the two things that that are needed. Less than 5% of children, though, have it surgically repaired, so it's not something that most kids end up having, even those who have the nasal lacrimal duct stenosis.
You know, Dr. Cross, it's not easy. Well, and it's so not easy. I mean, I remember just trying to get eye drops into my child's eyes back then. I mean, what is how you're talking about massage and getting the gook to come through on its own? And is this tough? And what do you tell parents on how to do this so that their kids aren't screaming and wiggling and pulling away? Because anytime the eyes are involved, you know, eyes and ears, kids don't like to have those messed around with.
So I have three kids, and one of them actually had this, and I didn't realize until I had the child who had this how aggravating this could be on a regular basis. And so what I would do is I actually sang, you know, all around the mulberry bush, and then I would push on it when I said, pop goes the weasel, and she would think this was hysterical. But that was what I had to do because, yeah, she didn't want my fingers anywhere near her eyes. My daughter ended up getting, even though I did take care of it, she ended up getting a couple of infections. And yes, I mean, putting those eye drops in, I felt like somebody was going to, like, you know, call Child Protective Services as I sit there, like, trying to hold my kids' arms down and hold
Me
their
too.
Eye open. So it was
Me
really
too.
Very difficult. And so that was actually, she ended up having the surgery done because it's very hard. It usually takes, you know, at either one very dexterous person or two people to hold the eye open and get the drops in a baby. Sometimes what they can do is give you an ointment if your child's young enough, which is easier to sort of pull the eye down and put a little ribbon of ointment in there because you have a little bit more time to do it. But the children really don't like the ointment either because once they realize that when they have ointment in their eye, they can't see clearly, they don't let you come anywhere near them. So that is the problem. Once they start getting infections, it's time to refer because they're not going to heal by themselves. They're not going to really, you know, dilate that duct by themselves because now it's been a little scarred with the inflammation and the infection. So they're going to need the surgery. So you might as well just go and do it as opposed to putting parents through all of that because the eye drops in children less than two, it's extremely difficult to get done.
And what age would the surgery be done?
Surgery is done anywhere between 6-7 months. Some ophthalmologists will do it all the way up to 2 years of age. What they'll do is some ophthalmologists try to do it in the office, and they do it without anesthesia, and they just probe. Other ophthalmologists feel they get a much better result if they're able to put the children to sleep with general anesthesia, so that would require going to a hospital or a surgical center. They put your child to sleep, and then they probe. And so they like to do it that way because sometimes they're not sure if they need to put a stent in, so if they're not sure, they have to put you under general anesthesia. But also, some ophthalmologists have found that children just move too much, and it's quite difficult to probe their eye, so they just feel it's a better controlled environment. Of course, there are risks
it
to general anesthesia.
Is.
And so when you have
well,
the option,
are, and
I think
this is definitely a children's hospital is always best. And this is something that no parent wants to really face and no child wants to let anybody near their eyes anyway. So this is something to talk with your pediatrician about. Learn about what these blocked tear ducts are and how you can help your child. And of course, you just learned a lot right here on Healthy Children. Our expert guests are provided by the American Academy of Pediatrics. This is Melanie Cole for Radio MD. Thanks for listening. Stay well.